This is Fam Electric Ghost, and welcome to the Fam Electric Ghost podcast. We have Mark Cole, founder of Frequency Caps, a holistic healing company. Welcome to the podcast today. How are you doing?
Thanks. Good. Thanks for having me.
So we've got your website up, www.frequencycaps.com. That will be fully clickable when we're published everywhere. Right now we're on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And again, welcome to the podcast. One of the first things we ever asked anybody is like, what motivates you and why do you do what you do before we go into your story?
What motivates me and why do I do what I do? I think what motivates me is just wanting to help others create awareness. Actually, this comes in too, is to help confusion. I think we're very confused right now. Clarity, that's it. You know, I think awareness comes with clarity. You know, I think the work that we do and everybody's, you know, is so confused in this world, where especially now with all these transitions and whatnot, and where to go and how to seek help and, you know, just get better, because the world is a crazy place right now with everything that's going on. So I think overall, just clarity. And I think we're also in the business of helping people find purpose, find meaning in their life. So, which is essential in my belief system. Yeah.
What brought you into holistic healing? And your inspiration to bring in psychedelics, maybe you can talk about that story and what made you go on that path.
Well, I mean, it was a very difficult one. I had to find out, I guess, the hard way. But, you know, my career, I'm still in it somewhat, but I have a 30 plus year career in film and television as a cinematographer and director for tons of TV shows and movies and movies of the week and commercials and all of that. And, you know, just by design, it's a very stressful, exciting business. And, but I've always been fascinated with the mind. I did a lot of crime shows back in the day, and it was really fascinating to study the criminal mind. I just found that, you know, it was just interesting. I did a lot of the recreations on the show America's Most Wanted. So, we always got to see the case files and like what these people were thinking and doing. So I've always had a fascination. Yeah. I always had a fascination with that and, you know, how they got away with it or how they didn't or what, you know. But then through the career, you know, this is decades ago, and it was a little bit of a different world. It was, you know, alcohol was very prevalent. I was working out of Florida. I grew up in Chicago, but I had moved to Florida in my teenage years and kind of developed early on. I started as a musician, and then I moved into filmmaking. And both of those, you know, had quite a bit of drugs and alcohol. I wasn't really into drugs much, but I realized that, you know, when I had a couple beers, I could get on stage and not be so nervous. I was shy. I was just, you know, kind of a shy person. So
that's not surprising, though, right? A lot of people who are musicians, actually, you find out that they're very shy until they get on stage. And, you know, you do find that kind of behavior. Yeah. Maybe it's not unexpected, but, you know, it seems to be introverts are common, right, among singer-songwriters, right?
Yeah. And I'm still, to this day, I'm an introvert. I really enjoy time alone, and crowds kind of, people can't see that. They think I'm, you know, dynamic or whatever, but no, I am an introvert, and it actually comes from childhood. I was always a shy kid, you know, so, but, you know, liquid courage got me to be able to talk to that girl, to be able to like calm my nerves so I could actually play my guitar effortlessly and not think about it and, you know, just relax a little bit. So it served its purpose very well for me, because in my day it was called hyperactive. Now they have all kinds of terms for it, but you know, I just have a lot of energy. So so it worked very well. It was part of the culture. I came out of, like I said, Chicago, huge alcohol based town, you know, drink beer and drink beer, and we weren't allowed any like Coca-Cola or any products like that in the house, but we had a refrigerator in the basement full of beer and cases of beer next to the refrigerator waiting to go into the refrigerator. So it was just, go Bears, and so like 20 years ago, I really started struggling with it. It became started becoming a problem. I was just I was hungover, and I've said this before, but they say it in the program, it's fun, and then it's fun with problems, and then it's just problems, right?
Yeah,
So, and then I be after a while, I get a
progresses to
DUI.
where you suddenly was a crutch.
Well,
Yeah, but it was a
that's
crutch, and then it becomes a problem.
And but I will say, like I guess I used it to my advantage for quite some time, because it did calm me down. But the next morning, you're more anxious, so you need something else. It's a terrible, terrible drug, by the way. It's a terrible drug, I'll tell you. But again, their happy hour was every night at some bar, back then. And even on the shoots I would be on, our food service table would at wrap would turn around and become a bar, and we all just sat around and drank and told stories and complained about each other or whatever. And that was a way of life, so when it started becoming a problem, I realized I could feel when I went from like a heavy drinker to, I don't like labels, by the way, but I'll say it, when it became a heavy drinker, when I shifted into being an alcoholic. I went from, wanting to have it to having to have it. And I, was shaking in the morning, and all of that. So I went into many rehabs over the course of like a decade. I went to hundreds of AA meetings. I mean, I wasn't denying that I had a problem. I was trying to fix the problem, right? But
Yeah, it wasn't
I
working for you.
realized, like, so I mean, I realized this years later. By the way, I haven't had a drink in 10 years. So, but I didn't like when you become sober, this term, it's not what you think. You're just removing the medicine that is hiding or dulling or
Core problem.
severing you from the right. I mean, it's like putting cologne on stink, right? You got to get rid of the stink, So, there's a saying in the program, or it was, what happens when you sober up a bunch of drunken horse thieves? You got horse thieves, right?
Horse
So,
thief is still a thief, yeah. It
right.
was all
So then
that.
you got to deal with it. That's why people relapse so much, because they just don't want to. First of all, they don't know what's going on. So how do you fix a problem if you don't know what it is? So
Well,
anyway,
is it the yeah? But
yeah.
is it that they
So.
address like the alcohol without the underlying, condition that led you to the alcohol, and
Right,
then maybe
right,
you don't
right.
have a belief, and maybe going to a psychologist, or you don't have a belief that you need to look at the looking glass self to really discover that you think there's one pillar is the alcohol. You get rid of that. You don't realize the other pieces of the puzzle, like the other, legs of the stool.
Oh no, you don't even know what they are, because they've been cut off. You've been cut off. You don't even know. So, and I did, by the way, I did everything. I did every therapy you can imagine. I was spending $1,000 a month with this stuff called, I think it was called Vivitrol. They would shoot it in my leg. It was a big horse thing, and nothing. It was supposed to take away
Oh, wow.
cravings, nothing. But here's the thing. It's like, until you get to the root of the issue, you will always pick up a drink again, right? You will always, because your mind just starts going nuts, especially when you're detoxing, right? So I went in the hospital many times detoxing. I would stop drinking, but for a week or more, I would be crawling out of my skin. Like, it was the worst feeling in the world, the anxiety. I mean, you felt like you were going to die. And that's, another reason people drink, because then you pick up one sip of alcohol and you're fine. So it's sort of the detox thing. So anyway, it was somewhere around 10, yeah, it was about 10 years ago right now. I went on, I had shown up drunk to a job, which I had never done before, and shown up hungover many times. But I got fired. That never happened, and I just, like, my career was kind of over in about 10 minutes. like the phone blew up and the word got out, and so I just shut the phone off, somehow made it back to my Venice Beach studio apartment. It was 300 square feet, and I had houses in Florida, and, five bedroom house in the ocean, boats and cars, and I had all this stuff. And I ended up in a one room thing, and I just went on like a 3 month drinking binge. I don't remember. I think it was.
Wow.
And then
Did you
one
find,
day,
just to ask you a question though, like given the fact that the industry you're in kind of has that vibe of, people drink and people have addictions, were you surprised that they were just that willing to just shut you out that fast without like trying to understand it, or is that just a normal practice?
no, there's no sympathy in the film business
There's no
at all.
sympathy at all.
No,
So
I mean, listen, they can't risk it. Like, move the stuff I'm doing, sometimes is $100,000 to $500,000 a day. And if you're not on your game,
you're just gone.
and if they, yeah, there was, and I'm the director or the cinematographer, we're the guys kind of setting the pace and the tone. And if you're not on your game 100%, they can't risk it. They can't. I get it. I won't. There's 100 guys behind you, and I had built this career of this impeccable delivery. I would always deliver no matter how hard the job was or the weather. They knew if they hired me, it would happen. Now, big question mark. And so I couldn't take, so there was a lot of shame in this, a lot of shame. My kids weren't talking to me. So I just basically closed the blinds, and I just dr drank. I would get up, early in the morning, wobble down to the Venice Beach, whatever liquor store that opened at 7 a.m. because I was shaking so bad to get a drink. Here I am drinking a vodka bottle at 7 o'clock in the morning out of a paper bag in Venice Beach. I go, how did I get here? And so, anyway, one day I was, I don't know if it was day or night, actually. I was just kind of laying there, and I got, my body went into like a paralysis where I couldn't move. And then I could feel, it felt like my life force was leaving me, and I started hallucinating. And I went, oh, this is it. I read about this. And I started hearing things, seeing things. And I said, I've heard all about this. This is like the stages of dying in alcoholism, So I obviously didn't die, but I picked up the phone, and I had been to rehab 5 or 6 times, spent all this money, it didn't work. And it was such, I spent the 10 years struggling every minute of every day with my depression, with my alcoholism. I didn't even want to live, because what was life if I'm always depressed, always stressed, always anxious, and I'm lying about my drinking? I mean, it was just a horrible existence. Like, I couldn't do, I was afraid of everything. And lying about drinking. Anyway, I was there, and I just, a little voice said, try it one more time, because I was like, I don't want, I mean, it hasn't worked. I'm just, out of money. So anyway, it said, just try one more time. So I called a friend, and I was said, will you find a rehab for me? I couldn't even like read a computer. I was so blurry. She found me a rehab, drove me up there, and it was in Malibu, and they wouldn't take me. I was in such bad shape. They threw me back in the hospital for my eighth or ninth like hospital detox. I spent my birthday in the hospital, and people are calling happy birthday, not nobody, like nobody was talking to me anymore. So then began the new quest, and I was mostly out of Florida, but I ended up here in LA, and I stayed. And I, something was different about this time. It was like I really wanted to live. I have kids. I wanted to see my grandkids grow. And it was the hardest thing by far I've ever done. But I started going to the AA practices in LA, which are pretty good, because there's a lot, I realize there's the movie stars are in there, and there's a lot of executives and stuff. And so I started hanging around that crowd, and because I had lost everything, so now I had to build a whole new life. And then I found, discovered Kundalini yoga, which is a very deep spiritual practice, ancient. That really helped. But then right around the same time I did my first plant medicine ceremony about 9 years ago, and that was ayahuasca ceremony. And it completely changed every belief system I had. It just, for the first time in my life, and I think really, honestly, that was the most joyful day of my life, my entire life, because all my shame, all my worry, all my guilt, everything evaporated in a few hours.
Did
And I
that
also
help with
saw.
their inward looking at like the core problems that you had not been
100%,
addressing? Because
100%.
the use of those, the mushrooms and the psychedelics, it allowed you to do what a lot of people did in the 60s, this kind of self-examination and kind of what the Beatles brought. But the idea that you can look like in that looking glass self that the Victorians talked about. The
Oh,
Victorian poets.
100%. 100%. You can't, it shows you truth. So this is what I tell people. Like, you cannot get better. You if you're lying to yourself, or if you're lying to yourself, you're lying to everybody, right? But you can't lie to the universe. You can't. Like, it throws it right here and you try to
We're back
shake it and it's
at
going,
you. They're back.
you're not getting out of here without dealing with this. So, which is harsh at first, but that's where the healing is. It calls you out on your BS, and then it just, yeah, it show there's so many layers, because you have to do several ceremonies to get, there's so many layers to someone. There's trauma, there's generational trauma, there's these fears, there's finding meaning, just lots of stuff like that. Which, and then there's like technical stuff. You start to see, like, I remember one time I saw how electricity works. I could see it in the air, right? Like, it's all around us. We know that
Like you saw
generators,
the vibrations, you saw the frequencies.
Well, yeah, you do that. You
It's like,
see the trees do talk. I mean, it sounds crazy, but they have to,
it's like
they have to, which,
synesthesia, right? It's like when you go through it, it's like the idea of synesthesia that you start p piecing things together in a holistic way. You start to actually connect the dots, and you're actually
Well,
like,
it's
oh, this is why this is working this way.
and it's makes so much sense, and then you realize that we are all connected, and what each individual does affect the collective, and so that just took my head off, and I was so happy, and I would just want to do more, because there was so much more I wanted to learn about myself, it just comes out. Basically, I was a scared little boy, that's it. Like, I'm a scared little boy. Nobody, I was,
Inner child.
short. Yeah, nobody paid much attention to me, and I was shy, or whatever. Got picked on. So that, I was carrying that into adulthood. And when I drank, I didn't have that scared little boy. I had a brave, stupid boy, I guess. Yeah, so when we start to learn about ourselves, which is what it's all about. And there's many, many facets to yourself, but we have this story inside of our head, our mind, that runs, I don't know, hundreds of times a day, that tells us who we think we are, right? So, and this is our core identity, it runs in the default mode network, or in the amygdala, or whatever. And but I study more yogic science than I do Western science, but it's a story. And then the brain's very, or the mind's very tricky. It wants to subconsciously validate that story, right? So you don't even know you're doing it, right? So my story during my drinking years was, I was a washed up old drunk alcoholic, right? A director, right? So I didn't realize that was my story, but that's what everybody's telling me, right? And that's what I'm kind of proving. So the more I started having that story run, no matter how many AA meetings I went to, therapy sessions, whatever, I would subconsciously validate that story by picking
You
up
loop
another
right back
drink.
into
And
it. You just loop
yeah,
right
because
back. You stay on that loop.
it's a ha well, it's a habit. It's a habit. Now I've done it so long, and my story's telling me to do it. And the brain wants to be right. It has, that's the ego. It wants to be right. It doesn't want to be proven wrong. So then you go, aha, see, I knew I was unlovable. Aha, see, I knew I'm an alcoholic. See. Victim, 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 right? And that's where that's our safe place. That's where we feel
Yeah, a
safe,
tendency
right?
to want to keep you safe, but you can end up being put into like codependency, like self codependency,
100%.
could make you feel that you're safe, but it
Yeah.
keeps you in the loop, and then
Yeah.
you don't progress, you don't self
No.
actualize. Yeah.
And then you don't like any of it, so you drink to shut it off. That's all you're doing with alcohol, or any real drug is you try to sever it, right? So, I mean, if you're panicked and you're freaked out and you're going through an anxiety attack and there's a drug right there that'll stop it, of course you're going to take it.
You
Like,
go.
I mean, that's a survival mechanism. Why wouldn't you take it? I mean, so that's actually the smart thing to do, to because I've, So anyway, I started going down the path of psychedelics and learning a lot about me. And there was such freedom in that because, we're a prisoner of our mind and this the it's fear, And since when I came out of the drinking fog for the first time in my life, my nervous system was shot. My whole identity was shot. I was just like this virgin little baby walking around at 50 years old. And just every super sensitive, So until you rebuild the neural pathways in a different way, you have to totally reprogram everything. The nervous system has to get strong again. Yet it takes years for your chemistry to balance back out. I mean, you basically I had drank a hole in my head, so I had to like
Started back
feel sorry, feel yeah. So it took a long time of really staying on path, but then that's where the rewiring happens, right? The rewiring of the neural pathways into a positive. So my story now is very different. It's a very, very different story. And my mind looks for ways to validate that, right? So when people ask me, how did you change your life? I said, I changed my story. Then everything else falls
Yeah, it's
in,
important.
right? Yeah. And I
Yeah, it's
and
important to
in
have
the
that.
well, in that story, we can't just go, oh, I'm this. I think the real, like, we are here for, this is my belief, and this is what by the way, most everything I'm telling you is something I've lived through. It's not something I just read a book or whatever. We're in this, I don't know if you understand, like, the ages of the Earth, but we've just transitioned out of the Piscean age, and now we're in this Aquarian age. And these ages run 2,100 years long. The Piscean started around Christ. And then now we're in this new era of open source thinking, feminine. It's a feminine world instead of a masculine world. We collaborate, we don't compete, we help each other. And it's also the age of knowing, not learning, but actually experience. So until you experience these things, it doesn't. You can't explain these things
It's not
in
like book learning.
a
Experience is
YouTube
different than book
video,
learning. Yeah, it's different
YouTube
than book
video,
learning.
right? Well, yeah, but this is the age of everybody now. We have the ability, because information's available to everyone, we have the ability to access everything. I mean, it's up to us to discern what's right and wrong, but there's no excuse that you can learn it and then experience it, right? Not learning and experiencing are two very different things, right? So, yeah. So we in these states of these journeys or these realms we go into in psychedelics, you find your purpose in life, right? So I'm a firm believer in that everybody is here for a reason, like, the universe, the divine, God, quantum field, whatever you want to call it, didn't put us here to just consume or just to exist. Our capitalistic society wants you to just be a consumer and be a boat floating in the ocean with no sail, because somebody with no direction is very easily controlled, right? And
Need to be a
also,
cog
they're
in the
great.
machine, Ian.
It's a well, they're But it's great for business. When I got out of my first ceremony, I looked at the shaman. I said, "How in the world can this be illegal? This is the most powerful, beautiful medicine I've ever even imagined. I got 30 years of therapy in a couple of hours, and my whole life is, everybody." And he looked at me and he said, "Because happy people don't buy anything." And
Yeah,
I
well, you're not on
went, "I
that train.
went, you're right." So to be unhappy, and you I encourage people to do, a psychedelic journey at least once in your life, but you don't need to do them all the time. And this medicine in microdose form is, you don't need to do it all the time. Once you start getting good with you don't, it's not a great business model. The Western business model, business,
Western
yeah, well, it's, a cured
world.
patient is a loss, a cured patient's a lost customer, right?
Well,
So,
I was talking to a psychiatrist or a psychologist one time, and a lot of times, like, the best advice is actually to get the person to not be the patient, to get them out of your care so that they can be self-sufficient. But the tendency is to actually put them on the pills, get them in the process, and string them along for years. And
sure.
some of the people I've talked to is like they didn't want to play that game. They were like, they're done with that. They
Yeah.
wanted to actually help people,
Yeah. Imagine that.
which
Yeah.
is in capitalist society is hard because like you tend to like, well, I'm in the individual and the capitalism is Calvinism is like, I need to make the money. It makes me a better person because I make the money. And so then you
Yeah.
get these
Yeah.
ideas that'll tie you to that. And then you see the universe. You don't think about the Eastern mysticism or the indigenous cultures that didn't have that goal.
Right. Yeah.
You end up getting hijacked to be a cog in the machine.
Well, yeah, they didn't have to make their Porsche payment, you know what I mean? So, but 100%, but I mean, like we've been around for a long time, right? Humans have suffered a long time, right? So there was an instinctual healing, center inside of us. There's, we call it the inside drugstore. There's all kinds of drugs and chemicals that the brain can release through breath work or yoga or running or simply, getting sunlight. I mean, there's massive amount of healing, and the body adapts and makes things that we don't even understand to heal itself. And all of it comes from thought. Most of it comes from thought, right? So that's why I said earlier, I'm careful of of labels, because if you say you're an alcoholic all the time, you're labeling yourself, and then you're always going to struggle, and you're always going to have to go to a meeting, and you're always going to rely. If you're, if you say I have a therapy, I need it, whatever it is, right? If you say I'm sick, the body is just reacting to what you're telling it to do, right? So there's many stories of people, getting sick with their thoughts, and then there, of course, there's many stories of people getting healthy with their thoughts, right? So
Yeah, the
it's
kind of
just this.
positivity of
Sure.
like the idea of like the law of attraction. Like if you stay in the dumps, you stay in the negative, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you tend to think more positive thoughts, I'm a Buddhist. I mean, we think more toward what we feel our purpose is in life,
Yeah.
and our purpose might have come from previous lives,
Yeah.
and we're going looking at a very wide universe, and thinking like if I try to be the best I can be. I'm gonna instead of saying I'm a bad person, I have all this shame, which a lot of
Sure.
our culture kind of ties us into these shame mechanisms, and
Yep.
then you never get out of it because you're like, well, I'm a bad person. I did this. I hurt these people. I hurt myself. I did that. Like you can't evolve if you're stuck on that train.
No, for sure. And that was actually my biggest emotion when I went into rehab was shame. And now, looking at the vibration chart, we know it's the lowest vibrational emotion. It's shame, guilt, and fear, right? So, yeah, but you can clean that stuff up, And, we're this, our society is designed in a way to promote you in hierarchy or whatever. If you're an extrovert and you have money, we attach that to the level of person that you are, not like who you are. Like, are you a good man? Are you a good woman? Do you live with integrity? Do you do what you say? Do you try your best? Do you love yourself? Like, these are the main things. And this is proven now scientifically with people like Joe Dispenza, that these are actual wavelengths that exist in the, ethers or whatever. These are magnetic attractions, and negative thoughts do are lower vibrational, and then your body becomes lower vibrational, and then your body becomes sick, and you attract more problems. It's pretty, Like if we all,
makes a lot of sense. It's
if we
not
all,
foo-foo.
well, I mean, if we all agree, and this is by design, when you think about something, you're giving power to it, right? So if you're
Yes.
thinking about, usually you're thinking about solving a problem, right? So you're giving power to that to solve the problem, right? That's good, right? I'm driving or whatever the issue is, right? So we can do that and move on. But we tend to live in the problem and not in the solution, right? So if you're giving attention to problems all the time, I got all these problems. Well, I've lived it. I know. I brought in more problems, right? But if we can separate ourselves, you said you're Buddhist, is that right?
Yeah.
If you can separate yourself from these thoughts and like, okay, I know I got a problem. All right, now the rest of my thinking is going to be on solutions, right? So now we're giving power to solving the solution. And in, Buddhism, they talk about it, run into the problem, get it over with faster so that you solve the problem faster and don't let it, sit around in your head and eat you up, right? And then that's when you start drinking and stuff because you don't want to hear the problem, but just
Yeah, you have
solve
to
it as
face
fast
it
as you
head
can.
on. I mean,
Yeah.
yeah, if
And
you
that's
go right
faster.
into it,
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
it's faster. It's harder because a lot of times we want to push it down and kind of suck it up. We're kind of told, suck it up, push it down, don't talk about it, but then it just stays there. And because you didn't address it, it just
Right.
keeps on being like a bad cloud. It's just
Yeah.
constantly going to give you that bad weather until you can open up to the clear skies and the blue sky and the universe. It's like, I can actually be there. I could be out there in the ether doing way more than just being focused on this one issue. I can
Well,
actually try to do
it
something
takes up,
better than that.
but I mean, just look at like at the end of your day, like just look at how you spent your time. You know what I mean? Did you like spend an hour and a half talking to somebody complaining about their boyfriend or girlfriend? Did you like think about doing your taxes for 3 hours but never did them? Did you know what I mean? Like it's this waste of energy, time, and I get annoyed because if I have a task to do and I haven't done it, it's like poking at me, right? To get done. And the second you get done, you feel better. And that task is never as hard as I thought it was going to be. We the mind like wants to make this is a big deal. Oh my God, oh my God. It just is it?
It's a procrastination trap. What that
but we
procrastination
make
trap?
it.
Yeah, we
Yeah, but
make it
we make it
happen.
big. Yeah, well,
Yeah, we.
more you complain about it, the bigger you're making
Well, your
it, and then
resentments. If you just harbor resentments and you don't think about like things that could actually build you up, it could build your family up, it could build the community up. Well, that's not probably going to be in the category of resentments. But if you said, well, this, these people are doing this, or this problem is, or this issue is like, I'm just going to focus on that, but I'm not going to actually try to have a solution. Like,
well,
what are
yeah.
your options for the solution? Where could we be tomorrow? But you're still on today, yesterday, and a day before, and a year before, and 5 years, before that. And it's like you're still talking about that instead of going where you could be, like even now,
Well, let it go. You're Buddhist.
Yeah, that's what we tend
No,
to do.
no, no,
The
no, no attachment. Don't get attached to it. Just let it
attachment.
go. F
Yeah.
finish it. But people, we love attention, I think. So our problems, we tend to create drama, like, or talk about our problems over and over again because we think some people want to hear it, or it makes us a victim and it gives us attention, right? And it's a really childish thing, right? So, like, I also study, Stoicism, and it's just so on point. It's like all of it, like, who's suffering? We are, right? If we don't solve a problem, we're suffering, right? The second we solve the problem, we're free of it, right? So it's like we don't forgive someone, right? I'm not going to forgive that, my family member for whatever they did 30 years ago. Well, how's that working out? Who's winning? Who's suffering? No one. You're suffering, right? When you're mad, when you're angry at somebody, like it's like, somebody cuts you off in traffic, you have no control of it, but you're so angry. And I go, that guy's controlling you. He doesn't
Yeah,
even
you're
know.
triggered.
So, as they say,
own
You
your
know, when you're
dreams.
angry at somebody, they're your master and you're their slave because they own your head. They're
Yeah,
in
you
your
don't let them
head.
own your trigger. You're getting
No.
triggered, and you're not owning your own
No.
responses. You're getting letting somebody else like kick off your responses,
That means you don't have control of your mind, right? It's simple, right? So, I mean, the whole thing back to maybe your opening question is, you know, we need to build strong minds, right? We need to understand what are our thoughts, what are not our thoughts, what are our problems, what are not our problems, right? And we get into these loops, and of course, the more we do something, the neural pathways of the brain wire deeper and deeper and deeper, and then they become habits. So then the body's responding like that, right? Because the body, as Joe Dispenza says, is an objective observer of the mind. So when we're constantly worried, our body's like thinking it's being chased by a bear. So it's like living in adrenaline and cortisol and all these poisonous,
The wolf at the door. Yeah,
and
because the
then
wolf at the door,
the wolf at the door.
could this be somebody said something? It isn't
Yeah, that
actually.
triggered you. Right.
It triggers
Right.
you, and that's the way modern life is. You go see a post, and that triggers you. Somebody says something that triggers you. You see something and it triggers you, and but it's still like got the same effect as the wolf chasing the guy through the woods. It's the same problem with the cortisol.
Yeah. Well,
You're
and
having that
then
problem.
what happens there? Then the body gets disease, right? You're pushing it down, right? You're constantly being triggered. I mean, if you're being triggered, you got to look at why you're being triggered. It's not the person that triggered you fault, right? Oh, that guy's triggered me. Well, why?
Why?
Well,
Yeah.
because he reminded me of a boyfriend, whatever.
It's
Well,
your
that's
thing.
not his fault or their
It's
fault,
your thing.
right? So own it and find it and get rid of it, you know, because hanging on to this stuff is just, it slows you down, and the body, like it's excess thoughts, excess, the body goes into excess fat. It just, you're just create, you know, you need to purge it. You need to cleanse it, right? And this is what plant medicine does, you know, ayahuasca and whatever. But, you know, back to why we're doing what we're doing with frequency is that it helped me so much to realize how much of an illusionary, crazy world I was creating in my mind of what I thought was reality. And now I completely think the opposite. You know, like every day above ground is a really good day. You know, it's a
Oh yeah,
really
the
good
benefit.
day.
Yeah, I mean the benefit of like feeling that tomorrow has, potential greatness versus thinking every day sucks. You're like if you
Yeah.
got the mindset where every day sucks, it's gonna get worse versus
Yep.
somebody, I'm a cancer survivor, so every day I'm here,
There you
I'm very
go.
happy to be here. But
I don't
like
need to tell you.
you don't have to actually go through that to get to that mind frame. But like once you I had that experience, I had a different perspective. It's like every
Yep.
day is like a blessing for me to be
Yep.
here. So I know I can do better. I know, things go up and down like a wave, but I still have the idea that like every day has potential. Where there's some people,
It
you meet a
does.
young person, you're 22 and you think there's no potential. I'm like, wow, that's a
Well,
bad
because
place to be.
it's well, it's clear you found purpose. You have a reason to get out of bed in the morning,
Yeah.
right? You're helping others with this podcast. I don't know you, but you're doing something. You're taking action to communicate with people so that people can be inspired and learn and right? That's a very important part of the collective of society, right? So that's a purpose. So if we, the 22-year-old that, if our job is drudgery and because I've had them, you have no purpose. All you have is resentment, and then you're gonna just you're gonna. That's why, the weekend party. You're just trying to get the hell out of your shitty job, right? But that's not no way to live, right? But
Yeah.
there's in this new age, especially with, things that we can do remotely, we can build our own brands, we can do, there's so much potential, even though,
Yeah,
they
everybody
make it,
can be
it's hard, but
their own business.
you couldn't have had a podcast 15
Yeah.
years ago or right?
Yeah,
I
I
couldn't
mean,
be,
you
you know.
can the gates are gone,
Right.
right? But if you
Right.
still think they're there, that's like your
They're,
thing. Like, there's a lot of
yeah.
people who think there's a lot of gates up, and we're living in kind of a gateless age, and there's
Yep.
still people thinking they're gates because it's like they don't realize how much you can do, like how much you can do at a micro level that can
Yep.
actually affect the macrocosm. And I
Right.
was really interested in the idea, like we talked about frequency briefly, but the whole idea of frequency caps, like you talk about like sound healing. And I kind of
Yeah.
want to dive, like, what
Yeah.
is actually sound healing combined with the mushrooms? Like, maybe tell me more about that combination.
Well, sound healing is ancient. It's very ancient. So we all know that we're vibrating, right? And there's different frequencies in nature that resonate with us. So, you know, like certain frequencies make you feel good. Like if you listen to a country and western song, you're going to get a very different emotion than you would if you listen to a rap song, right?
Yeah,
Right?
Johnny Cash
Different,
with Dr. Dre.
right? Well, yeah, they could both make you cry in different ways, I guess. But so those are, you know, that's how frequencies affect us. They're that powerful, right? You know, we're so much water, and you know, we know that we've all seen probably the experiments of a water bowl sitting on top of a speaker when it's vibrating at 432 hertz or 528, or these frequencies that create chaos into sacred organized geometry. If you haven't, come to our booth this weekend in Vegas at the psychedelic conference, and we'll show you. But these patterns are, you know, called they're fractals or sacred geometry, but they organize, right? So when certain sounds hit the body, they organize the cells and they heal us, right? So 528 is the frequency of the heart, right? They've shown scientifically that that heals you. So, you know, I've been in many sound baths where they'll put that crystal bowl or that metal bowl, and they put it on your heart and they put it right into you. So every thought is a frequency, right? So the reason we came up with this is, you know, I've been at this a while. Struggling, you know, self-taught kind of thing for like 6, 7 years now, going through, we suffer a lot from contamination and just lots of genetic. It's just very difficult to stay consistent with stuff. Anyway, a few years back, I was going through one of those phases of struggle with the mushrooms, and I sold it like an ounce to like a shaman. This shaman friend of mine's very clairvoyant type person. Anyway, he called me a couple days later. And he said, this is how he talks to you. It's funny. He said, dude, me and my buddy, we both did a deep dive on the medicine you gave us. And we both saw you in our journeys. And I went, what? And he goes, yeah. And we felt your fear. We felt your frustration. And we saw the contamination. And I didn't tell him anything. He said, your frequency is in the fiber of the medicine. And I mean, they both said it. I didn't tell them anything. It was too, it's not coincidental, right? So I said, aha. So what I did is I just revamped everything. And now we have like the sound chamber. It sounds like sound. It's a sound bath. We have a sound bath. We play crystal bowls. We have the Buddhist chanting. You love it, man. It's like everything. They're happy. And does it make a difference? Yeah. I make the analogy of identical twin humans, right? One same DNA, one goes and lives in the ghetto, one goes and lives in a healthy, loving household. They'll look the same, but they're not going to be the same vibration, will they?
Yeah,
Right.
totally different.
So we are very, the mushrooms are the same. They're sentient beings. They have intelligence. They breathe oxygen, exhale carbon dioxide. They learn. They have little families. You know, we call them clusters,
Yeah,
but they are. You could
communicate, right? Yeah,
100%.
collaborate.
100%. So they reflect, and you know, I mean, even in food, you can tell when you sit down in a family and everybody made the food together and you bless the food and you eat it. It tastes better than if you go to some place and there's
Process,
some
yeah,
minimum wage guy back there
he's
bitching and
slapped it
mad.
together,
He's throwing
he's all mad about it.
shit. He's screaming. There's a Gordon Ramsay screaming at everybody. I mean, that's in the food,
Yeah,
right?
the vibe got into the
Yeah.
food. The vibe gets into everything. You know, being a
Oh,
musician,
for sure.
we're totally into the vibes. between the audience
Okay.
and the room
Yeah.
and the band.
Yeah.
Like, so when somebody has a
Yep.
bad night in the group, like we're picking
It's
up on it
off.
and say, oh yeah, we're not vibing tonight. Like we had an
No.
issue. Cause because they could have their own issue, but you try to get beyond it. But yeah, vibes are everywhere. And people,
That's
you know, you
right.
gotta read the environment, you know, because if you unless you have this hang up where you're like, well, I can't believe that. Right. Some people have the Western kind of minds. I have to be proven. It has to be scientific. I can't see it, so I don't believe it. And I can't believe in mystical, and I can't believe in anything that's not made by, you know, some factory.
Well, yeah, I'll say this on that. Listen, spirituality, mysticism is simply unexplained science, right? They used to think electricity was magic until they understood it, right? I don't think the human brain will ever be able to understand the infinite. You know, we can't even comprehend it, right? Like, so, but the reason you can feel like if your bass player is off or something, you guys together as a band are now one organism, right? And if it's not firing on all pistons together, the band's off, right? And you could pick that up because you're aware. It goes to awareness, it goes to clarity, it goes, you're not confused, you're clear, and you can sense it. But most of us are so dull and disconnected, our awareness has gone. But human beings are hyper aware beings. Right. And
Yeah, I'm lost.
when the vessel's clear and the mind is clear, things, ideas, all these things like flow, we can feel, we can see people's magnetic aura. We can feel it, right? We know when something doesn't feel right. I don't, that person makes my, gives me the heebie-jeebies, right? But if you're drunk, you're not going to feel that. You might even go home with
You're
them. You
numb.
know what I
Well,
mean?
yeah, you're numb to it, so you don't have all your capabilities, because there's
No.
more than all the
No.
senses that we, you know, are written down. There's like the
That's
stuff that
right.
we can just walk in a room and you feel it. You feel the energy. And then you
That's
walk
right.
in this old Victorian house and you kind of feel
That's
the
haunted.
ghost. You feel the ghost, you know? It's like,
Yeah.
it's like I can
Yeah.
feel you
Yeah.
could go out into an old place and it feels, you know, cool, because maybe there's like
Yeah.
indigenous, like Blackfoot Indian vibe coming through, and it's
Sure.
actually positive, right? But you go to another place, it's like, well, this place has got a crazy vibe. It's like it doesn't want me here. It doesn't want anybody here.
Yep.
It's like you
And I
kind
mean,
of,
they're getting instruments that can actually read this stuff now, too. So it's not, you know, again, is it spirituality, is it science? It's both, you know?
yeah.
So back, I mean, psychedelics connect us with spirituality. I mean, we are spiritual beings, right? So, you know, so the psilocybin molecule, the way it works is, we have 16 different serotonin receptor systems in the brain, I believe, and we usually operate on the 1A serotonin receptor. And serotonin, by the way, you know, regulates digestion, your sexual function, lots of different things, not just the happy, you know, drug or I mean molecule. So, but psilocybin goes into what's rarely used is the 2A receptor system. And the 2A receptor system goes everywhere in the brain. Like we're only up here. We're in this 10%, right? The 1A system. But the 2A receptor system goes everywhere. And when they put the
Untapped,
EEG
untapped.
things on,
Yeah.
well, the mystics have always said, there's many rooms in the mansion that you've never been in, right?
Yeah.
So when you get into these other rooms, being Buddhist, you start to just, there's so, who knows? There
Opens
could
up
be
that
pat.
inner universe. There's
There's
like
a
an
lot
inner
of.
universe, right? That's in the is the mind, and it's untapped.
Right.
You know, it's the most powerful computer in existence. It's the
Yep.
most powerful capability, but a lot of people don't understand it, like how to access. And it seems like
Right.
through the psychedelics, you're able to break through some of the walls and maybe the logical mind that's preventing you from entertaining the other parts of your brain. You know, you're
100%.
not able to. You're not getting,
100%.
you know, you're not getting the glass ceiling that's
Yeah.
stopping you. You're
Yep.
breaking through
Yep.
it,
Well, I mean, you don't know what you don't know. Right? You know, so when we get into that, and then when you operate on you know, some other psychedelics too, you also open up the portal so that you can tap into the information that's endless, right? I mean, we download things when we become a vessel, Jimi Hendrix would write a song in 10 minutes,
Channel.
20 minutes.
Yeah,
He's
he's
just
just
a,
a
he's
channel.
channel, he's channeling
Yeah.
it, right, for sure. So there's no doubt, these are people that have a different wiring system, or they can pick up signals and
You pick up the
that
muse.
we
I mean,
can.
poets used to talk about the muse, and Hendrix used to talk about the universe. I think he told the Isley Brothers one time he just went and did some crazy lick in the middle of one of their songs, and he said, they said, "Why'd you do that?" I said, "Well, the universe gave it to me, and I had to put it down." And they were looking at him like, "What?" And I, well, that's the way he worked.
That's right. He's the vessel. He's the vessel, So the vessel has to be trained to play guitar, but once he got himself trained, then it was subconscious, and then he could do anything, right? So this is where real intelligence comes from, right? There's, being in this Aquarian age now, it's no surprise that psychedelics have now come up
Oh, for
again,
sure.
right? They've been
Yeah.
around forever, right? But they're here in this new way of thinking, parallel to AI. Like, it's really kind of interesting that they're both popping up at the same time.
At the
So
same
you
time.
have this,
Yeah.
yeah. So this is something I'm actually speaking about at the psychedelic conference this weekend. But is, that's not a surprise, right? So you have this, logical, informational, system that's going gangbusters. It's super fast. You can think, but it can't. It can't experience, right? So
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Aquarian, the psychedelic mind thinks like the brain. It's an ex it's experiential thing, right? So the brain doesn't think normally. It doesn't think like a computer, right? You hear a song, reminds you of an old girlfriend that was Italian. Then you think about pasta. The next
Yeah,
thing
it
you're,
kind of jumps around. It can
it's
be
all a,
illogical.
it's
Yeah, it's kind of
just
jumping around.
all
It's
the
not
time,
fully
right?
logical. It's more personal.
And that's how, but that's also how, but that's how our information comes in psychedelics, right? And it comes in fast. Like, there's a theory that nothing is faster. The only thing faster than the speed of light is the speed of thought, right? So when we go in these realms, we get, sometimes I get so much information, I can't even, like, I can't, it takes weeks to decipher. It's like this giant MP4 coming in
Download,
my
like you got hit with this massive download,
brain.
like a terabyte download, and you can only process 100 gigabytes
It's
at
coming in
a
AOL dial-up,
time.
with me anyway. So this is a revolution of thinking, right? This is a revolution of like I said, direct experience, collaboration, transparency, no secrets, right? The old systems of having to push a rock up a hill for the rest of your life, are not necessary, right? We think smart, we don't think, so, but again, it's a system of healing also. Like, the world needs it right now, and it's a feminine energy, and feminine energy is obviously very healing. So we're here to collaborate with others to heal, to help heal each other. And you do it one person at a time. You can't force people, especially now in the Aquarian age where information is available to everyone. I don't think communism or these oligarchy work, because you can't force people to go do things anymore. Before, it was very easy to brainwash people, because there was, when I was a kid, if you wanted to figure out something, you had to go to the library and go
Yeah.
get an
Many sources.
encyclopedia
There's too
that
many
was pre
sources.
well, I mean, the encyclopedia was already 10 years old by the time you found it, and it didn't have whatever. It's so
Yeah.
ancient, right? Now it's instantaneous. So we have this collective consciousness of the internet. I like to say that every, person on Earth is a neuron in a giant brain that we have on planet Earth, right?
Yeah.
And if you have a problem, you want to think, solve it, you go to TikTok. There's 100 people that already solved it for you for free.
Well, yeah, the idea of the collective, actually working together instead of against, because there's still people who profit from division. They profit from chaos. And so they don't want the people to come together in collectives. But when you have the more, mind abundant type of mindset. Like, I don't necessarily want to stop you. I want to work with as many people as I can and build a collective base of like future expansion, rather than, oh, you're going to take my spot, so I got to fight you and keep you from taking it. Like, I can actually build a new spot that never existed, so I don't have to worry about you taking it because I can use my mind.
Well, yeah, that's one way to put it, but it's like we are tribal. Like, if everybody in the tribe does their part, the tribe survives. We're like individuals outside the tribe back in the day died, right? And
Yeah,
if and if
makes
and
sense.
this is where like likes on Instagram and stuff are important, because it's a tribal approval, right? If they didn't like you, they threw you out of the tribe and you died.
Yeah.
So that's like it's a survival instinct, right? So people are always trying to get more likes on there, whatever that is. They're making up shit and creating trouble or illusions or taking their clothes off or whatever they're doing just to try to get that dopamine hit of that they're liked by their peers, right?
Yeah.
So, but we once you understand these things, then you can, you have to be aware of them so that you cannot get attached to them, right?
Yeah,
So,
attachment is always the
but psychedelics, they just help. They're a biohack. They're a biohack. You can get to these realms very quickly, through several, ceremonies or whatever with trained professionals that, I'm not saying don't go to therapy. I'm not saying
No.
don't do some of the stuff, but I'm saying when you crack the egg and you get in, start listening to what that is, trusting that, and then change your life daily, every single day. Work on it till your old program of the neural pathways disintegrates. Like Dispenza says, nerve cells that no longer fire together, no longer wire together, meaning that after a while, those neural pathways disconnect, unlike a computer, right? So now you have a new program. And if your new program is not of one of worry and of poverty and hatred, it's going to take a while to unwind that stuff because you've been doing it so long. Then you become sort of neutral and you begin to attract a better life. And if nothing else, you're happier. Like if nothing else happens to you, even if you're the roof's falling down and
That's
everything,
worthwhile. That's
it's
very worthwhile,
right.
though.
So, like, I'm not a wealthy guy, but my abundance is like tremendous. Like, I have the ha
Yeah.
I am so I'm in the best spot in my
Happiness can't
entire
be
life.
measured. Sometimes,
No.
the person with the biggest wallet can be the most unsatisfied, unhappy person on the planet. So you
Usually
don't
they are.
necessarily. Yeah, so
Yeah.
you they, like that
Yeah.
doesn't not equate, but I do
Well,
have to
yeah.
kind of cut it off here. But I want
Okay.
people to go to your frequency caps. If they go there, that's how they reach you to
Yeah,
connect with
and
you.
then they can do that. Yeah, they can email me, but on there's also Frequency Caps is our Instagram, which we have lots of education. And then we have a YouTube channel, Frequency Caps. And we're constantly putting out educational material that's
Material.
one of the things we're doing here. I know we got to go in a second, but it's very important that people understand this. Like, this medicine is medicine from the earth, right? And right now, we're protecting that as it exists in nature, right? The marijuana companies, the pharmaceuticals, whatever, they're all in it hard now. They have
Oh, they
these
want to
giant
take it over.
operations. It's already happening. And they're jamming it
Yeah.
into gummies and they're synthesizing it and they're doing all kinds of very sacrilegious things to this, in my opinion. It's like,
Take away the energy
there's.
of it if you kind of dilute it with mass production
Right.
and a lot of the chemicals aren't necessary.
Well, right. It's for profit. None of those people have done an experience. They don't care, right? They don't know. They're just trying
Just
to get
profit.
people high right now. So our company is obviously, since we grow in sound chambers, everybody, our intention is to protect the essence of the mushroom. We have very, very high quality genetics, and we have some of the original ones that came from Maria Sabino in Oaxaca, Mexico, from
Oh, wow.
McKenna Brothers. And so So that is our thing, is people want to know where this is coming from, right? They don't want to have the energy of my fear and my contamination, or the warehouse that was this stuff was grown by drug dealers. They don't want to have that frequency in it, you know what I mean?
I get it.
So that's what we're doing. So if you go there, and if anybody's going to the psychedelic conference this weekend, PsyCon it's called, in at the convention center in Vegas, we're at booth 622. I'm
Cool.
speaking, I think, 11:45 on Saturday. Some more of the same nonsense I'm speaking with you about. So,
Oh, it's great. It's been wonderful. I do have to I do have another appointment, but thank you again for being on the show. It's really great. I think this kind of approach is not common, and we've never talked to like somebody like yourself, actually advocating for these things previously on the show. So I think it's really cool to actually bring this type of knowledge to our audience. So thank you again for being a guest on the Family Electric Coast podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Have a
Okay.
good night.
Right. Bye.